Welcome back to the home of explanations. You've got more than money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor, 780 years of experience at your service. This Saturday morning, joining me in the studio, Mr. Ted Heikes. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Gene.
You are well, I trust.
I am well. How are you?
Pretty reasonable day out there today.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
No, after the last few days of being 4 degrees, 3 degrees, 2 degrees, I go up and I go, let's see how bad it was 24 at my house at 5:30 this morning. That's not too bad. What is it now? 27 degrees. So, you know what? It is so lovely out there. You shouldn't go out. You should stay right where you are, right by your radio. Sorry, I was being a Democratic politician there for a second. Yes, I know. I tell you that it's 4 degrees. You shouldn't go outside. You should stay in and listen. And then when it gets warm, I say, you should stay inside. It doesn't matter. Job creation. It's up, it's down. It's whatever it is. If it's good, it's us. And if it's bad, it's still good because it's us. All right, my head hurts. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. Markets up strongly this week, moving most American indexes, stock market indexes, into positive territory for the year. Slight positive, but positive. Job creation was reported at 257,000 jobs in the month of January. We take that with some grain of salt as it was announced by the government. Ba-dum-bum. ISIS, what a bunch of cowardly, savage, just scumbags. Just, oh my God. And finally, somebody taking a real leadership role and saying, you know what? We don't believe a word they say. We hate every one of them. We're going to try to bomb them into the Stone Age. Wait a minute. That's Jordan. It's government of Jordan taking strong action, and we support them philosophically. We pray for their success as they battle these what can only be described as terrorists indeed. TurboTax, lots of issues this month. If you own a real estate investment trust that are sponsored by ARC, American Realty Company, American Realty Corp., you may have some concerns there as some major lawsuits have been filed and their auditor has resigned special shout out to my daughter Megan, who did such an amazing job last night. I wish I could have told you last night, but I could not speak. That was really beautifully done, sweetheart. If you are hearing that quick run through and going, wow, he ripped through those, it's because we talked about them in the first hour. And you're going, but I wasn't around for the first hour. It's very simple. Monday at noon, you'll go on to our website, morethanmoneyonline.com. You go to the radio button, and you will find the archive of our show, and you'll be able to go exactly to first hour and get all that good information. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. I've got half a dozen emails. Ted, you've got a question. Why don't we go back and forth? You got a question for me?
Sure. A few people have been wondering about this recently. 529 plans. Mm-hmm. There was talk of changing them.
Yep.
What came about with all of that? I guess if you just want to fundamentally talk about 529 plans, what they are and everything, and then what the proposed change was and how it is now.
Oh, very good. President Obama. Barry. Anyway, in the State of the Union said, you know what? You Americans, you rich folks, you've been saving too much money for college. This is the same guy that said we should take money away from rich people so that we can give free community college to every communist. Anyway, bottom line is he proposed eliminating the tax advantage to 529 plans, making all the profits taxable. By some guesstimates, there's half a trillion dollars in 529 plans, $500 billion. And over the next 10 or 15 years, estimated to grow to $2 trillion. So parents, grandparents, people who love children, who have been responsible, have turned to advisors like us and said, hey, how do we save for college? Well, the IRS, the federal government created, the IRS administers a program called the 529 plan that allows folks to put money in if it's dedicated to education. Post-secondary, meaning after high school, all the profits accrue, assuming that there are profits, because you invest the money and to the extent that you're good at this and create a profit. tax deferred, meaning there's no tax, until the dollars are taken out and if they are spent on qualified educational expenses, pretty broad definition, I should say, tax-free. Fantastic. President Obama announces we're going to get rid of that. There's kind of a seismic impact. A lot of people who have some influence say, you know what, you do that, we're probably going to march on Washington. And about 3 or 4 days later, he went, you know what, we've kind of relooked at this, thinking we're going to probably leave that alone. So that's where we stand at the moment. 529s look like they have been brought back from the brink, and we're feeling pretty good about that.
If you own a 529 plan, you open one for one of your children, and then you, God forbid, pass away.
Sure.
What happens to the 529 plan? Is it vested in the child then immediately?
No.
Right.
No, there's a successor owner.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll pick on Gene for a second. Gene has three daughters. He sets up a 529 plan for each of his daughters. He owns it. He croaks. In his case, the successor owner would be his lovely bride, Diane. Diane now is the owner of the 529 plans. Now, our daughters, one is out of college, one is in college, one's soon to go to college. So paint the picture that, sadly, the lovely Diane croaks a year later. Hopefully, in the meantime, she has named a successor owner so that the child is never the default owner. There's someone that's put in the place of the owner. The child is the beneficiary. Mm-hmm. The owner is the owner. Does that help?
And if the child doesn't use it for educational
expenses. Oh, very good. Very good. 529 plans, unlike the old style of saving for college, which was a what's called an UGMA, Uniform Gift to Minors account, or an UPMA, Uniform Transfer to Minors account, custodial accounts. At a certain age, it was the child's, whether they used it or not. In the state of Pennsylvania, 21's traditionally been the age of majority. So you save a bunch of money, you get a little bit of tax advantage, maybe, maybe not. You got like 50 grand sitting there. You're hoping the kid went to school. Instead, she starts dating a guy named Dog. She's got 500 piercings, tattoos, and she's heading to Colorado because that's where the good stuff is, man. And you're going, how did this happen? It's a mystery. Trust me, it's a mystery. Every parent that's got more than one child has gone, wait a second, same genetic pool, same parents, same household. How did they get to be that different? No way to figure this stuff out. But it happens. God bless. And at 21, she goes, give me my 50 grand. And you go, I ain't not giving you nothing. You're dating a guy named Dog. It's her money, legally. 529 plan says exactly the opposite. There is no, it's never your money. You don't own this. You are the beneficiary. And as a result, you're telling me you and Dog are heading to Colorado because that's where the good stuff is. You know what? See ya. By the way, I'm transferring the beneficiary from you to your brother or to your cousin. Or I can transfer it to me. What if my daughter, son decides I'm not going to college for a much better reason? I want to be a Marine. I want to be an Army Ranger. I want to be a Navy SEAL. I want to be fantastic. And 5 or 6 years later, they're in a career that they love in the military. They're not going to use it. And I decide I need retraining. Can I use the money for education and have it be tax-free? The answer is yes. What if I don't need it? Fast forward 12 years and the son daughter's now 30. They get a great career. They're married. They have children. Could you transfer the beneficiary to your grandchild? Yes. Lots of cool things can happen even if the child doesn't use it. Does that help?
It does help.
Cool. 610-720-7900. Gene at askmtm.com. Gentleman writes, he had 1,000 shares of particular stock. Originally held by the company. And this is very important. Most companies today, they don't issue certificates. Everything's electronic. So it's CompuShare, by the way, is pretty common as kind of the transfer agent. Lots of computer-based stuff. He starts working with a broker. Broker says, hey, so that we can keep track of this stuff, we should transfer this into your account. Guy goes, yeah, I guess that makes sense. And then looks at the opportunity to buy more shares. And in the old system where it was with the company, it cost him nothing. And now there's a commission. And he's saying, this seems like I made a mistake. Can I undo this and go back to having it in my name alone with the company? Ted's puzzled. Ted has not bumped into this yet.
No, I have not.
It is a very interesting scenario. And while I am concerned, slightly concerned about the financial advisor's kind of instinct to say, hey, bring it on into the account. I'm slightly concerned about what the motivation might have been. I am I'm absolutely understanding of this gentleman's issue, which is, hey, I used to have no cost, now I have a cost. Let's answer the last question first. Is it possible to reverse this? Sure, absolutely. Just as it went from the company into the account, can it go from the account back to the company? Absolutely, no problem whatsoever. Company can help you. Shareholder services, easily done. No harm, no foul. Now, should he do that? There's a traditional start to every one of our answers.
It depends.
It absolutely depends. If this gentleman is saying, these are shares of a company I never intend to sell, he should transfer them back. There's really no reason for the advisor to hold them. Are there reasons for the advisor's benefit? Maybe. And I'm trying not to be cynical, except I'm old and cynical. So I'm trying not to be, but I am. Are there reasons for the advisor? Maybe. But if this is a stock and it's a company that if I name the company, you would go, got it. Probably going to hold it forever. I don't actually believe there's a company that anybody should hold forever, so that's not the point. But are there emotional issues? Are there personal issues? Maybe. But that's not the point. The point is your objective to hold the stock forever? The answer is yes. Transfer it back to the company. Cut it out. Add more money whenever you want to. There's no fee involved. There's no commissions. You're done. Because that's your goal. However, what if your goal is very different? What if your goal is, I want a professional overseeing this. I want a professional guiding me. I want a professional that, you know what? No, I don't. I'm not planning on holding this forever. If it needs to be sold, sell it. Then it should be in the account. Now, what if you just want your professional advisor to give you, be able to see the big picture? Now, we talked earlier about a tool that we have at MTM where you can create a personal financial, we create for you a personal financial website, and you can connect all your financial pieces to the website. And when we're side by side, we see everything we are managing for you and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Simple. So does it need to be in an account where you're paying a fee or you're paying commissions? The answer is no. No. Can you, by the way, on that website thing, can you connect, I don't know, 401k plans?
Yeah, anything.
Bank accounts?
Yeah, the more information you have, the bigger the picture you have, the better it is for everyone involved.
Can you connect like mortgages so that you can see payments on mortgages, stuff like that?
Loans, anything.
Student loans?
Yeah, if there's a login, if you pay your loans online, you have a login name and a password, we can connect pretty much anything. And anything we can't connect, we just send a nice little email over to the company and they say, take us a couple days, and they put it in for us.
So somebody who wants to take full advantage of technology capability to really see their financial picture, and it includes budgeting and it includes projections and it includes assets. And as I recall, you can drill down if you're looking at your 401k and you're seeing a PIMCO Total Return Fund, you can click on that. It tells you all the details about the performance of PIMCO Total Return. Powerful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What are we charging for that?
Free.
Are you out of your mind? Have you talked to the boss about this? Oh, wait a minute. That's me. No, you're, yeah. Ah, John scores points. Diane's not listening today. She's on her, the church women have a retreat every every winter. Nice. They're on their winter retreat. So she's in an area where the reception is zero, so she's not listening. So John gets no brownie points whatsoever. 610-720-7900. Do you have a question for me, sir?
Sure. If you're a business owner and you have a business structure set up, LLC, partnership, whatever, but you own the building you operate out of personally,
mm-hmm.
how do you excuse me, pay yourself rent without doing it in a sketchy manner, I guess?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. You got to be clean.
You don't want to run into...
No, and you know what? And I like the word sketchy because it gives that kind of icky feel. Mm-hmm. And if it feels kind of icky, don't do that.
Right.
Don't do that. Now, are there folks out there that are going, what are you like? What are you guys like, Boy Scouts? You know, this is business, dude. You're supposed to, you pay yourself like 200 grand a year rent for a 400 square foot studio apartment. So you get all this tax advantage. The word sketchy is right. It's what disreputable, unethical, low-lifes attempt to do. If you want to create a long-term sustainable success path, you don't do sketchy. You don't do sketchy. So very good question. Is it pretty common that a business owner buys the property where the business resides personally and rents the property to the company? Very common. Now, here's some basics. The most important issue is fair market value. Fair market value. Pretty simple idea. Not necessarily the easiest thing to come up with. You may need to do a little bit of work. But fair market value says, for example, I have a 5,000 square foot office space. I'm going to, as a company, pay the owner, myself, rent. What would comparable space of a comparable quality in a comparable location in the Lehigh Valley rent for? And let's make it really easy. 5,000 square feet, $20 a square foot a year. 100 grand. 100 grand. Divide that by 12, 8,000 something a month. There's your rent. And somebody raises their hand, that would be the IRS, says, hey, fella, how'd you come up with that? Here's my documentation. Mm-hmm. I looked at this and this and this. Maybe I called my realtor. Maybe I got an appraisal. Maybe we just went online, went to, what is it, Zillow?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And started doing research. And here's what I got. Now you're on the right track. Now you've got a solid thing. As opposed to sketchy, you know, if we pay ourselves 300 grand a year, we avoid some of those taxes and this taxes. That's sketchy. That's sketchy. By the way, it works the opposite. I don't know what the opposite of sketchy. Oh, naive or uninformed.
Right.
Uninformed. You know what? Why don't we just pay ourselves like 10 grand a year? The fair market value is 100 grand a year. I don't know. Why don't we just pay ourselves 10 grand a year? So then the company's not like really struggling to pay the rent. And I understand it's uninformed. It's naive. It's not the way you should go. Number two, absolutely document. Mm-hmm. Document your fair market value. Document your research. Document. Have a lease. Hello, Rob Pinnell. Let's get a formal lease between the company and the owner of the building. Let's update those leases as things change. Let's track appropriateness. Hey, we're going to employ someone to clean the office. Is that an expense of the owner of the building or is that an expense of the company? Oh, it's a company expense. Hey, we got to put a new roof on the thing. That's a building owner expense. Mm-hmm. Keep things clean. Keep things appropriate. Does that help?
It does. Thank you.
Fantastic. 610-720-7900. Very interesting question. A lot of folks have been asking about. One of our longtime listeners, one of our best informed listeners, and he's always helping us. So let's see. And actually, I think his question helps a lot of people. I think you'll see why. His question is about PPL. They are spinning off their energy supply division into an independent company called Talon Energy, 65% of which will be owned by PPL shareholders, 35% owned by Riverstone Holdings, period. Shareholders of PPL will receive Talon shares based on the number of shares of PPL stock they own. And the formula is yet to be determined, and here's why. And I'm not privy to, you know, I got no inside information whatsoever. I am not an insider. Do I own PPL stock? Sure. Am I an insider? No. No. Do I know anybody inside going, hey, Gene? No. Got it. I have. So my observations are my observations. Take them for what they're worth. The formula is not yet determined because it will be based on the relative value of the shares. Make it easy on Gene. The PPL is $100 a share. At the point that the spinoff is done, they determine that Talon is 15 of those $100. It represents 15% of the current big picture PPL. That's going to change almost on a day by day. Number one, PPL stock changes minute by minute throughout the trading day. Number two, Talon shares need to be evaluated to get a reasonable guesstimate. After the split, the number of PPL shares issued will remain unchanged. That's exactly right. I imagine that there is since there's no free lunch, that there's a price that PPL stock will fall to after the split to reflect that the assets have been transferred. The answer is absolutely correct. So here's exactly how it would appear. Currently, you have 1,000. Currently, you have, make it easy on Gene. You have 100 shares at $1,000 a share. Or make it more realistic, 1,000 shares at $100 a share. So you own $100,000 of stuff. If my demo is correct, 85% is the remaining shares, 15% is Talon. 15% is going to spin off into Talon shares worth $15,000. The remaining shares of PPL will be quote unquote adjusted, and they will be now worth $85,000. So when all is said and done, when you add up the value of the two pieces, it'll still be $100,000. Now, will it immediately adjust? Yup. That's what an open market does. It will immediately adjust. And so depending on how the market shareholders and the market interpret the value of this transaction, PPL, if the market goes, hey, good job, PPL shares might very well rise and your 100 becomes higher. Or they might very well look at it and go, what a bunch of jerks. And it drops and your value will be lower. That's got nothing to do with the spinoff. That has to do with market functions, reaction, very good word. Thank you, sir. So bottom line for us is that spinoff should end up being a value neutral event. You simply end up with two pieces rather than one. Does all that kind of make sense?
It does.
I hope I explained that in a fairly clear way. 610-720-7900. We have 2 minutes or so before the mid-show break. I'm sure Ted has more questions. I've got at least two more email questions, including one that I think you're going to really enjoy. It's based on an experience one of our listeners, and to be fair, he's a friend of mine, client of ours, has experience, he and his wife, by listening to Glenn Beck. Huh. That economic bastion. All right, don't get me started. Mr. Glenn Beck, we have a very interesting question that spun out of listening to Glenn Beck. We have a detailed question about a gentleman and his personal circumstances, and happy to answer those. And, of course, anything that may occur to you as well, comments, questions, concerns, 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. morethanmoneyonline.com. Gosh, the next thing we're going to do is do the man on the street stuff. we're going to kind of do that with live studio audiences coming up. It's going to be a lot of fun. Folks, Voice of an Angel telling you, half an hour left in this edition of More Than Money. Don't go anywhere. Get yourself squared away after this on More Than Money.
I'm giving.
Welcome back to the home of explanations. You've got More Than Money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor with 780 years of experience at your service. This morning, Mr. Ted Heikes in the studio. Ted, sir.
Good morning.
Ted is financial advisor heading up a team at the More Than Money World Headquarters in the Holy Lands between Bethlehem and Nazareth. He's also an attorney and part of our crack legal team, which is very different than a legal team on crack. Totally different. You've got to listen carefully. I know that you've had some really positive experiences working with Rob Pinnell.
I have. He's a great guy.
And I say Rob Pinnell, as I should say attorney Pinnell, so that folks understand. In the interest of full disclosure, Rob is a personal friend. Married to a lovely lady. They have a beautiful family. We're very close to their entire family. We consider them part of our More Than Money family. But Rob and you guys have a nice partnership going there.
We do. He's a great guy. He's a good mentor. He knows what he's talking about. He's good with the clients.
Clients really do appreciate being able to understand legal ideas in English.
Yeah, I mean, some attorneys have the tendency to talk down a little bit, whether intentionally or not, to their clients. But Rob really takes the time to make sure that everyone understands fundamentally what he's trying to say, which is nice.
And I liked the word you used, mentor. You're getting to pick up some, because Rob's been doing this a year or two.
Yeah, he's been doing it for a while in a lot of different areas of law and everything. So he really... You know, sometimes the clients have questions out of left field that I'm sitting there scratching my head about. But Rob always has a pretty good answer. So,
pretty neat stuff indeed. Speaking of neat stuff, for a totally different reason. Totally different reason. One of our longstanding clients, listeners to More Than Money. They also watch More Than Money on the TV show. They're friends. They're investors. They're also Glenn Beck listeners, and for most of us that have jobs, that's tough because he's on in the mornings and we're actually working. But the bits and pieces that you pick up if you do catch Glenn on occasion is that the word Armageddon is, for him, too optimistic. If it's gray and cloudy like it is today, it's because we're heading into the global ice age from which we will never recover. If it's sunny, it's because the Earth is getting too perilously close to the sun and we're going to burn up momentarily. There's not an event that Glenn can't find a reason to be at, wanting to throw himself. Now, we're 67 stories up here in the Clear Channel Tower. He would be out the window every single day. So they're concern is the world's economy is going to hell in a handbasket. The dollar is going to zero. And in about 2 weeks, we're all going to work for the Chinese. Life is dreadful. So would it not be sensible on their part to sell their portfolio? It's a rather substantial portfolio, measured in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, not measured in the hundreds of dollars. would it not be wise on their part to sell their portfolio and simply buy gold? Like everybody that I can see, for as far as you can see, they're all shaking their head. No. Oh my gosh, no. Oh my gosh, no. Now, and of course I agree. No, I think that's a bad idea for 100 reasons. But they followed up with two very interesting questions that I thought were fantastic, because these are wonderful people. They're wonderful people. They're bright. They're well-educated. They're good people. Do they have fear? They do. Mm-hmm. They have a young family they got to protect, and they have fear. Now, I get it. They're the only ones. Nobody else is concerned about the markets at all. Let's see. The market dropped 3% in January. It went up 4%. It's down 7%. It's up 9%. So are there reasons to be fearful? Yes. Absolutely. Here's the first, what I thought was a great question. Gene, you've been doing this a long time. Isn't this as bad as it's ever been? That's a pretty darn reasonable question. I think it takes it, the whole mentoring idea. Hey, they see me as a mentor. I'm a little further down the path than they are. I've seen a little more than they have. I've been around a little longer. Isn't this as bad? Won't you, Gene, can't you agree this is as bad as it's ever been? And the answer is, oh my gosh, no. Oh my gosh, no. No. I have seen in my 780 years scenarios where you just go, you know what? We're never going to be able to rebound. I was a very, very young man when Jack Kennedy was killed. And the tragedy that was felt by the entire populace of America was palpable. And it went on for days of it just, the world was black. How do you rebound from something like that? And yet we did. Vietnam. Oh, my God. And forget for a moment where what side of the fence you might have been on in the 60s. And absolutely acknowledging the honor of the men and women who served. It was dreadful. Every night you turned on the news and they measured body counts. Today, American forces killed 2,000 of the enemy. And 150 of our young men and women are dead. How do you rebound? You can't. Well, we did. Jimmy Carter era, some of the worst things economically you can imagine. The gentleman is an elderly gentleman now. Do I question his motives? I don't. Do I still look at him as the second worst president ever? Of course. How do you rebound from mortgage rates at 21%? Mortgage rates. You can get a 30-year mortgage now at what, 3%? 21%? That's crazy talk. How do you rebound? In 1987, stock market dropped in one day, 30%.
Black Monday.
Black Monday. It would be the equivalent of you wake up Monday, And by the end of Monday, the Dow has dropped 5,000 points. All right, it's over. See? It's over. And yet, it wasn't. And the list goes on and on and on. So, is this as bad as it's ever been? No. Are there wrinkles? Yes. Is it a much more complex investment environment? Absolutely. Do we currently sadly suffer through the worst president in the history of America? Yes. Do we also seemingly have the most impotent Congress in the history of America? I think so. My personal opinion, I could be wrong. I'm not, but I could be. But I'm not. So the long-winded answer is this the worst it's ever been? No. And will it be bright sunshine in the future? Sure. And will it also be rain? Of course. So if you're investing with the idea that you've got a legitimate handle on, is this either the right time or the wrong time? I guarantee you this, you don't. Second question, pretty reasonable question. hey, look, if we do this, we just liquidate everything, we put it in gold, and 3 years from now, it turns out everything's okay, I guess we really haven't lost anything. You know, it's kind of, it's up, maybe we could have made more money, maybe we didn't have to go through this, but at least we're not being hurt. Ted has a very skeptical look on his face.
Get hurt in gold.
Well, and that's a very, very good point. Gold, as of the end of Friday, traded at $1,233 an ounce, and 3.5-4 years ago was trading at $1,950 an ounce. Silver was trading yesterday at $1,668 an ounce, and it was not long ago it was trading well into the mid-30s. So is it a logical conclusion to say, well, if we do this and 3 years from now we made a mistake, kind of no harm, no foul? Oh, gosh, no. Unless you consider, well, we had 300 and now we have 150 as no harm, no foul. Because is it possible to get tragically crushed investing in precious metals? Of course. Of course. Now, is it also possible that $1,200 an ounce gold could go to $1,900 an ounce? Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. Predicting is very hard, especially about the future. 610-720-7900. You have a question for me, sir?
I got a couple questions about 401ks at the time of retirement.
Go ahead.
So you hit retirement.
Yep.
If you're Ron and Sharon, you decide that's it. We're done with work. We're ready to retire. Your 401k, can you do partial rollovers into something else rather than just, you know, if you want to put it in an IRA, do you have to take the entire sum of the 401k out at that time, or can you?
That's a very interesting question. Putting aside for a moment that I'm not sure what the motivation would be, the answer is you can do a partial rollover.
Okay.
Sure.
And if you did do that, what do you think the best way, say your 401k is in four separate funds, does it depend on the funds? Do you want to take out evenly from the four?
Oh, sure. Now, of course, the start of my answer is always, it depends. I would have to understand what the client is trying to accomplish by leaving some money in, taking some money out. If it's, I don't know what it would be. Typically, it's better to do one or the other. Mm-hmm. I have a reason why I want to leave the money in the 401k. It might be asset protection. Mm-hmm. It might be low cost. It might be I'm really happy with the investments I've got. It might be any of those things. But that would tend to say leave it all in.
Right.
Or it might be I don't care about any of that stuff, and I want the advantage of being out where I get better investments, or at the very least I get a much broader menu of investments, and I get more direct control, yada, yada, yada. So now, and again, understanding, I don't know what their motivation would be. If, let's say there's 400, we're going to leave 200 in, take 200 out. Let's just assume for a second that their motivation is, I'm just having a little bit of fun. I'll give half to Ted, let him play with that. I'll do half over here, I'll play with that. In which case, each of those packages, the 401k package and the IRA rollover, needs to be invested appropriately. So would you just gut the 401k and kind of leave it, the balance in one fund and it is what it is? No, that's a bad idea. If there's four funds that you like and they're let's say you're 25% apiece, yes, you want to keep that proportion and then move the balance out and do whatever you wish to do in the IRA. That's a head scratcher.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. What else you got over there?
Target date funds and 401ks.
Sure.
If you could just explain a little bit about what they are. What happens when you hit your target date? And where do you go to next?
Oh, very interesting. Target date funds, for everybody listening, is a kind of a one-stop shop in the mutual fund world. For the most part, when you talk to a financial advisor and they talk about asset allocation, diversification, we're going to create a portfolio. They're looking at bringing together, depending on the dollar amount in the portfolio, anywhere from two or three to as many as 20 mutual funds or ETFs or some combination. A target date fund says, hang on a second. That's a lot of moving parts. What if we did all that in one fund? And here's how we're going to drive the selections. We're going to set a certain point in time that we would expect that the person that's in this fund would retire. So let's pick simple. Today's 2015. We'll pick 20 years out. The 2035 target date fund is now invested under one umbrella, one single fund, in stocks, bonds, real estate, whatever they think is appropriate for someone who's going to retire in 20 years. Next year, it's the same fund, but it's appropriate for somebody retiring in 19 years. In 10 years, it's going to be for somebody in 10 years. In 20 years, they expect you're retiring today. So the investment approach and the investments themselves will change. Pretty simple idea. It's an interesting idea. What happens in 20 years? Does it just like open up and the skies fall? And the answer is no. Lots of folks, way more folks than you might imagine, are still invested in the target date 2010 fund. Hmm. And you're going, excuse me? But 5 years ago? And the answer is yeah. What would a fund that is invested for somebody who should have retired 5 years ago look like? It's going to be fairly conservative. There's going to be a lot of bonds. It's going to be a lot less stocks, yada, yada. Somebody's target date 20 years in the future, it's going to be mostly stocks, very little bonds. You get the idea. So is there ever a time where you're kind of like looking at this thing going, I should get the heck out of here? The answer is yeah, but it's not an age thing and it's not a date thing. It's an objective thing. It's what is my objective? And if it's 20 years from now, if you looked at half a dozen different target date funds that are 2035 target date funds, they're going to be invested differently because different managers have different approaches, different philosophies, different theories, different strategies. So you might look at one and you're going, this is 85% stocks. And you look at another one and 60% stocks. That's a radically different structure. And you got to pick the one that fits you and your objective. Mm-hmm. Does that help?
It does.
Anything else over there before I start annoying people?
So if you're sitting down trying to decide between investment types, ETFs versus mutual funds,
sure,
what is going to differentiate who invests in what?
This is a very good question. Very good question. I have no clue where that question might have come from. Gosh, goodness gracious. We had this exact discussion, as you might expect, because our More Than Money team, we now have 5 advisors. We have a wonderful support staff. We're growing like a weed. Come on over to our world headquarters and try to get a seat because goodness, it's just great fun. We are so blessed between all the great folks that are there and Harley, our mascot puppy. Life is just, it's just grand. And because we have such a breadth of both experience and insight on our planning team, we get together and we share ideas. We were talking about exactly this thing yesterday. For everyone listening, mutual funds are something that most folks have a pretty good handle on. Been around a long time, 100 years plus or minus. We get together, you know, several thousand of our closest friends, and we all pool our money. We hire somebody that we think is really smart, and we trust them to invest our money appropriately. Worked very, very well for a long time. Different fee structures. Some did great, some didn't. There are now plus or minus 27, literally 27,000 mutual funds. And you go, whoa. And some work great. Some are very, very profitable. Some are average. Some stink, as you would find in any universe of 27,000. 10, 12 years or so ago, somebody said, you know what? The vast majority of actively managed mutual funds never beat the market. So if the S&P is averaging 10% a year, 70-80% of the managers are averaging 6 and 7. And you're going, well, that kind of stinks. Can't we just get the S&P then? Can't we just get rid of it? And somebody went, wait a second. Sure we can. and they created exchange-traded funds. Exchange-traded funds are not managed. There's no manager. There's a what they in the industry they call it an algorithm. That's a fancy term for a recipe. There's a recipe. Simple recipes are the S&P 500. We're simply going to have an S&P 500 index, and the computer is going to run the whole thing. Over the years, we now have thousands of ETFs, and they can do almost anything you can think of. But they have three key issues. Number one, there's no manager. There's nobody at the helm. There's a computer running the deal according to the recipe. Algorithm, formula, use whatever you wish. Number two, they are remarkably cheap. Where average mutual fund expense ratios might be somewhere between 0.6% and 1.3-1.4%, some a little lower, some much higher, but in that range, exchange traded funds might be 0.8%, 0.08%. They might be as high as 0.5%, but relatively speaking, much less expensive than mutual funds. That's pretty cool. And then lastly, but very, very important, they are exchange traded funds. All mutual funds trade, they reset 4 o'clock in the afternoon, end of business day on the East Coast, every mutual fund. So you call up at 11 o'clock, say, I'd like to sell my mutual fund. Ted will say, sure, that'll be traded today at 4. You go, no, sell it now. Can't. Woo. Exchange traded funds act more like stocks. They buy and sell all day long. So you call Ted at 11 o'clock, go, I'd like to sell. It'll be sold in 3 minutes. Fantastic. As a result, there are some opportunities to build in some protections on the ETF side that mutual funds don't have. Stop loss orders, for example, that kind of thing. So pretty interestingly different platforms. Does that help a little?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Definitely.
How much time do you have over there, sir? Very good. First of all, so I don't forget, thanks for being in this morning.
Thanks for having me on.
A lot of fun. A lot of folks hear you. I go, this is Ted. Oh, yeah, yeah, we've heard Ted. That's fantastic.
Nice.
That is a good thing. We have a couple of emails I did not respond to. I absolutely will. That will happen before the weekend is out. My apologies for not getting you on air. I want to take just a moment to talk about a couple things that are happening at MTM Financial Group that you may find valuable. Number one, we mentioned Rob Pinnell during our conversations today. We host monthly free will review days, free estate planning reviews, in essence, where you get to meet Ted. You get to meet Rob as they team up, and they will review your wills, your trust. If you have no estate planning documents, they'll review your current scenario and see if you need them. They'll look at your current documents to see if they need buffing up. That's absolutely free. We're happy to offer that to you. And all you need to do is request it. We'll give you information here momentarily about how to request it. Number two, we are developing a business startup system. Ted is working hard on this with Daryl Okin. Ted, of course, is an attorney. Daryl is a CPA. There are certain pieces of the puzzle that every startup business has to meet the challenge of, how do I set up my business? Should it be a C-share or a C-corp? Should it be an S-corp? Should it be an LLC? How do I register? Where's my tax ID number? Payroll. Oh, my gosh. HR. My head's exploding. How about a business plan? There's a ton of stuff that up till now folks have to go almost everywhere, 5, 6, 7 different places to maybe get it done correctly. Now we're creating a one-stop shop. We're working with a number of small business owners right this second, and we'd like to offer that service to you as well. So if you are in that mode, I'm getting a business up and running, or I've been attempting to do that, let us know, and we'd be happy to bring you in and give you a free consultation to see if that service helps as well. Voice of an Angel says it's time. We got to go. If you heard anything today that you would like more information on, easiest thing in the world to do. MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. You'll find radio archives. You'll find videos. You'll find white papers that we've created. You'll find all the contact information you need to reach out to Ted Heikkis, to Daryl Oaken, to Mark Belsack, to Bill Maughan, to Gene Dickinson, and anybody else on the More Than Money team. We are happy to serve you. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll see you next time on More Than Money.
I don't know how you keep on giving for your